Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, a show that explores the people, stories, and events of Central Iowa. I'm one of your hosts this morning, Greta Anderson, joined by my co-host, Kay Puddock. Hello, Kay.
Hello, Greta, and hello, listeners.
Today's show covers a couple of topics that relate directly to the quality of life in Ames. Later in the show, we'll be looking at the Ames Community School District's disposition of real estate. In other words, old schools it is no longer using, and we'll take a peek at the new Edwards School. But first off, we have the events coordinator from Main Street Cultural District of Ames in our studio, Emily Miller, to talk about an event scheduled for next weekend and about some of the new life that is being breathed into that organization. Welcome, Emily.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So tell us about the event on the 15th of August. We at KHOI are particularly interested in this because we have a lot of out-of-town guests, as you probably know, attending our grassroots radio conference.
Yeah, it's very exciting that it's all happening on the same weekend. So our event is called Foodies and Brew. It's the first time event that we're ever doing this or attempting to try this. I think it's going to be awesome. Basically came from the concept of creating an event that reaches out to the kind of younger, middle-aged working crowd of Ames. We have a lot of family-friendly events, and we have a lot of different festivals that celebrate holidays, and we wanted to do a little bit more of an event that would just be a good, everyone can count on it on a Friday night during the summer as it repeats year to year and can be able to come down. So we basically have lined up a couple of restaurants here in Ames, some pretty good ones, The Cafe and Aunt Maud's and Dublin Bay and Wallaby's, kind of the best. And we are pairing them with Dahl Distributing. It does a lot of craft beer just from the Midwest. So they have eight different craft breweries coming, including Exile from Des Moines and Summit from Minneapolis and Back Pocket Brewery and all kinds of them. So there'll be 16 different craft beers available for sampling and purchasing. And so kind of what the event will look like will be on a Friday evening. So next Friday, the 15th, 6:30 p.m. is when it kicks off down here on Main Street and Douglas, actually just outside of your studio. Tickets basically gets you just entrance into the event and then followed by food tasting from all of the different restaurants, all of their samples that they'll put out, whether it be their signature dish that they're known for at their restaurant or something new that their chefs come up with just for the event. And then they will also receive like 3 to 4 ounce sample of each of those beers. And then later on, we'll have beer for purchase later in the evening, and that will all be in a commemorative glass that the people get to take home with them, which is pretty sweet. And then the night will end and wrap up in a concert. We have a band called Damn It Chandler coming out of Des Moines. They're a cover band. I heard they put on a good show. It'll be fun.
Well, as you mentioned, you've had family-friendly events, and then you have this right outside our studio with alcohol. And because there's alcohol, there's a little fence, I believe, too, just to indicate that this... And some people got, well, I guess we did from first before we understood, got a bit upset about this fence. Could you explain a bit more about the fence?
Yeah, that is a city code that has to be followed in most cities when we do public events like this. We are making it a 21 and over event. And so because that is the case, we have to have either a very high fence that you're not able to pass a cup of beer over, or you have to have a couple of lower fences that are about 6 feet apart, which is too far arm's lengthwise to pass a beer. Oh. So there will be a shorter fence, and there'll be two of them. But we work with Party Time here in Ames, and they provide really cool kind of white PVC kind of country ranch looking fence.
Like a picket fence.
Yes, it's a little bit.
Cute.
Yeah, it's a little quintessential. So yeah, there'll be a couple of those, but they're really not too off-putting. I think at our last event, it wasn't super noticeable or no one really felt too trapped in or enclosed. So,
are you speaking of Oktoberfest? Because I know that was another beer-related fest and people really enjoyed that.
They did. I was referring to our last event, Firefly Country Nights, which was the country concert here on Main Street on the 200 block. And we had Frankie Ballard, who's won a couple of his songs around the top 40 hits and won a couple of awards. And but Oktoberfest was a huge success last year, and we're gearing up for that again this year. That'll be actually in September, not in October.
Well, I've heard that's traditional.
It is. In Germany. Yeah, it starts in September. A lot of people get thrown off by that, but that's how it works.
Well, it really does sound like Main Street Cultural District is stepping it up quite more than just one notch, maybe two notches or three. So yeah. Can you tell us how that is happening? You have some new facilities.
Yeah, absolutely. This has been a great year of kind of transition, and definitely I would say just kind of jumping ahead a couple of big steps on events and visions and getting Roger Brooks. We had him in March. He is an awesome professional downtown developer and visionary and marketing branding guy. And to have people like that come that care about Main Street and be able to host him here and have him give us a little bit of insight on potential that he sees for Ames and things, easy things that we can do and upgrade is awesome. And so we've taken a lot of those kind of ideas and run with that in our organization. Having events is awesome. I mean, we want to be able to provide an event that gets every demographic in Ames excited and to come downtown and to think that Ames is a cool place to come at least once or twice in the year, hopefully more than that. But yeah, I think yes, regarding the facilities, we moved our office to 304 Main Street, right there on the corner, kind of in the hub of downtown. And we are with the Ames Chamber of Commerce. So we share meeting rooms and conference rooms in the lobby. And then our offices are upstairs. It used to be the old Inova building. That's what a lot of people like to come in and see how we've changed and how we've kept it the same. It was pretty idyllic, I think, when it was there.
Well, that is quite a change for the Ames Chamber of Commerce, because they had been out in an industrial park, and it's nice to see them identifying with the downtown.
Yes. Yeah, it is a little bit of a change for them. They were on South 16th, and their office has a little bit more character, I would say, a little bit more character. We have, like, exposed ceilings. We have the original hardwood floors. Upstairs in our offices, we have some of the old doors to offices that are, like, frosted glass and hardwood, very industrial-looking, which is pretty sweet.
Yes.
It is. No. It's very lovely. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the farmer's market has been quite a success.
Yeah, the farmer's market has totally blown up this year. There is a market director, Lojean Peterson is her name. She does a fantastic job corralling the vendors and all of the details, and it's grown from one block to two blocks every Saturday. This year, they've also expanded the market dates, which will go until October this year instead of ending in September. So, yeah, it's been awesome. I've heard nothing but great things about the quality of produce that's there. Families come every week, and they're just excited to hang out there. There's a great kids zone. There really is a lot to
and
do.
Also, it's good food, too.
Also good food. It's good breakfast. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And are you doing anything else with the downtown, like the facades and so on of the stores and whatnot? Is there anything like that happening?
Yeah, our organization kind of heads that up along with the city. There are quite a few grants that are available either through, we're part of a larger organization called Main Street Iowa, that kind of wraps up 76 different communities in Iowa that qualify for their downtowns. And they just are awesome at kind of guiding us and giving us advice and helping us kind of grow that vision like we have into reality through resources and ideas and such. And then the city of Ames also does quite a few facade grants every year. So we encourage our businesses to apply, the ones that we know have come to us and been like, hey, is there any way, is there any money available out there for facade updates? So we would really love that for our store. So we encourage everyone that's an entrance to them. It's a little bit of an application process, but it's not too hard. And I've seen some really great outcomes from the ones that have been granted here.
Yeah, I see a lot of development along those lines. A lot of facades are under construction right now.
Yeah, there is. There's always kind of, seems like there's always scaffolding or barricades or cones or something downtown, which is a little bit of, it's kind of in the way, but to me, I'm pretty excited about it because it means there's going to be something great coming afterward.
It is exciting. And I guess the last piece of the puzzle is to get more people living downtown. Mm-hmm. Is there, do you talk at all about downtown development for residences, condos and apartments and that kind of thing?
I don't necessarily, I haven't myself. I know that our organization, our director and I would love to have there be more apartments downtown, because we think obviously if people live downtown, they're probably going to pop outside and go get something to eat near them or go buy something down the street from them, which is what we're all about, is just promoting our businesses that are here because they are fantastic. And there is, of course, the historical district over here, which have beautiful old homes, and a lot of them are apartments now. But we would very much love if there was the space and the capacity and the resources to have more apartments downtown.
Well, the Sheldon Munn is developing into condos, isn't it?
I'm not sure. I know that was the original kind of plan when I started on. I know that was kind of the direction they were headed. And I think that they are still in process and route for that, but I haven't heard any updates. That would be fantastic.
We'll have to talk
if it was.
Yeah,
because that's a really historic building there.
I know, and it's beautiful.
It is.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be fantastic if that was the outcome of that project.
Right. Well, let's recap the event for not this Friday, but the one following.
Correct. Yep.
It is a beer and foodie. Is that what you're calling it?
Foodies and brew.
Foodies and brew.
Yes.
And there is I would say, substantial admission fee. We don't give details, but it will sort of provide adults over 21
yes.
an evening of entertainment and delicacies.
Yes. Oh, that's good. I like that. Delicacies.
Although it's a little, you know, I don't know if beer is a delicacy. It's
enjoyable.
It's a hearty.
Our engineer is nodding. She thinks beer is a delicacy.
I think she's right. It is. It's pretty enjoyable.
Does this include a new brewery in Ames, Iowa? I've heard there is a new brewery coming to town.
There is a new brewery coming to town, excuse me. The name is Torrent Brewing. They are not really up and running quite yet. We had hoped that they would be heavily involved in the event, but they haven't quite settled into Main Street yet. So they won't be here this year, but this is, like I said, something that we hope to do every year and hope to get a couple more restaurants and a couple more breweries on board. So I assume next year they'll definitely be on board.
Okay. Well, yes. Emily, thank you for coming in and bringing your energy into our studio and thank you to Main Street Cultural District for bringing its energy into Ames. It's really doing a great job.
Thank you very much.
Yes,
it's a pleasure.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Emily Miller, Events Coordinator of the Main Street Cultural District of Ames.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling, I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with the rain, I've a smile on my face. I'll walk down the lane with a happy refrain, just singing, singing in the rain. Dancing in the rain. Yeah, 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 yeah. I'm happy again. I'm singing and dancing in.
You're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm your host, Greta Anderson, together with my co-host, Kay Puttock, and anyone who has a garden in central Iowa is doing a little jig this morning, I think. We are celebrating this rain, which came just at the
moment it was needed.
It dropped at last moment before we had to get out the hose. And it's very pleasant, a nice gentle soak. I guess you could call Gene Kelly old school. And that is the topic of our next section, old schools. We are talking about the schools that the Ames Community School District is no longer using and how they get rid of them, how they sell them and repurpose them. Later in this segment, we'll have a kid's eye view of the new Edwards Elementary School. A child correspondent attended Old Edwards and then went to the new Edwards open house. So he's going to give us his views.
But before that, we have an editorial piece from Fern Kupfer about the disposition of the old middle school. This editorial from the Ames Tribune a few weeks ago caught our notice, as Fern is such a fabulous writer. So we asked her to share it in her own voice.
Our loyal listeners will remember that the day before the council meeting this editorial describes, we had some neighborhood activists into the studio to describe their dissatisfaction with how the old middle school property was handled. We had Victoria Shapinski and Sharon Guber. And since then, I've also spoken with Luke Deerdorf, the president of the Ames Community School District Board, and the school board member who is really pushing for the sale of the school, and we'll share his views.
It's a complicated issue, but it's important, I think, to discuss it.
Yes, so here is the background. The Ames Community School District sold the old middle school property, which has three parts, north, south, and middle, at auction to the highest bidder, which happened to be Breckenridge Acquisitions from Texas. This company eventually sued the city because basically they did not get the zoning that they wanted. Their lawyers met with the city lawyers and hammered out a deal that the council was then to vote on. Facing huge public opposition at this meeting, the council votes were split, and Mayor Ann Campbell cast the tie-breaking vote, as she does in such situations, in favor of the agreement. However, because of the petition that neighbors had circulated and either the number or proportion of residents who got on board with that petition, it turned out that rather than just a majority, a supermajority of 5 was needed. And so that vote was actually null.
Yeah. So that's the backstory. And here are the views of my neighbor, Fern Kupfer.
Hi, I'm Fern Kupfer. I taught for a long time at Iowa State. I was the president of the neighborhood organization, SCAN, South Campus Area Neighborhood. And I've been involved in some neighborhood affairs since then. And I'm going to read an article that I had in the Ames Tribune. I write for the Tribune once a month, often about local issues. And this is a very complicated one. I hope you can follow it. And it is about the whole Breckenridge brouhaha, student housing, the university, the school board, and a general vision of what Ames should be. Okay, it's called Deep in the Heart of Never Mind. Love means never having to say you're sorry. Apparently, so does being on the Ames school board. Question, has a person on the board ever apologized for getting us into this mess? Anyone? Anyone? Let me see if I can explain it for you. The school board made the decision to sell the land on which the old middle school was built to the highest bidder. Land use? Not our business, said the school board. We take care of curriculum. Let the city take care of zoning. Years ago, Mayor Ann Campbell urged the school board not to vote to sell to the highest bidder, pointing out that the decision would cause, quote, a lot of problems. How many, even she did not realize. But when there is no long-term vision, when an elected commission, such as a school board, does not think of itself as a part of a larger community with civic responsibility, when money alone determines the moral compass, well, the result is a mess. Hundreds of hours of council time having been spent examining zoning, discussing a corporate lawsuit, and facing public wrath. Hundreds of hours have been spent by neighboring folks informing themselves and fighting a corporation. These citizens were sold out by a school board who should have known better and cared more. I suppose it could be worse. If money is the only criteria the school board used, the land could have been sold for a hog confinement. Instead, the land was bought by Breckenridge Land Acquisition of Texas, who, as Aspen Heights builds luxury student housing complexes, which are rented by the bed. Strange to see the words luxury and by the bed in the same sentence. Go online, you get a taste of the reputation of Breckenridge Land Acquisition of Texas. Lots of complaints about shoddy construction, about workers not getting paid, about displacement of existing housing, and yes, about zoning. Protests abound. There must be an awful lot of money to be made in student college housing. Otherwise, why put up with all the headaches? Seems easier to build a mall. Some of the blame belongs with the developer for buying the property without any guarantee that the land would be rezoned to the more profitable high density. When things stalled, Breckenridge initiated a lawsuit against the city. This mandated closed-door negotiations, which were necessary but incurred citizen distrust. Then Breckenridge made an offer. Could the city of Ames refuse? Breckenridge would drop this concocted lawsuit and sell the middle parcel of the land to a developer who would then establish low-density, single-family homes, possibly with covenants to ensure that family homes would endure. In response, the city would rezone the north and south parcels toward a higher density. There are problems, of course. Aside from the complications of single-family housing built and sold between two student complexes, this deal sends a message to other developers. Threaten a lawsuit, then take it away, and the city will adjust its legislation accordingly. This seems a destructive precedent. If a corporation is a person, Breckenridge is an arrogant and desperate suitor, believing if the threat of lawsuits don't work, perhaps the charm of compromise will. The issues are confusing, the rules changeable, a lawsuit is costly and time-consuming. The mayor broke a tie in the last city council in favor of the proposal that Breckenridge offered. I have a correction to make because I realized that this proposal, the compromise, was not Breckenridge's first. I think it came from the council. No one is exactly sure where it came from because this was in closed session because of the lawsuit. But this compromise, which I don't think is such a great compromise, was tried to be worked out. And it was, if Breckenridge would withdraw their lawsuit. It's really complicated. The building was packed with citizens in opposition. Perhaps the proposal sounds like a compromise, but I sense that the only ones who were being compromised are the neighbors. Finally, at the end of a three-hour meeting, Breckenridge submitted a letter untabling the request to, never mind. The people left the meeting dazed and confused. What had just happened? To anyone who completely understands the machinations of this deal, Warren Madden might offer an honorary degree in finance and chicanery. This mess would not have happened. I repeat, this mess would not have happened if Breckenridge Land Acquisition of Texas was acquiring land for student housing in a different part of town. Let's say, Northridge Heights. That neighborhood would have lawyered up on their own in response. It's standard procedure that when neighborhoods get screwed, it's modest areas like College Creek or Old Town or South Campus. Mistakes have been made before. The high-density apartments across the street from the new middle school, for one. There is a need for vision in this town. The thing is, developers should not be the ones who determine the long-term planning of a city. The most desirable option is, of course, that there would be single-family, low-density homes on all parcels, with the most ecologically sensitive parts of the south parcel left undeveloped. That's not going to happen, because Breckenridge still owns the land. That's worth repeating. Breckenridge Land Acquisition of Texas, builder of, quote, resort-style homes for college students, still owns the land. an aside. A Texas land development company also owns the mega swath of apartments springing up as far as the eye can see on South 16th Street. And the movie's 12 Cinemark corporate ownership is in Plano, Texas. Maybe the reason that our movie choices in a smart college town are limited only to blockbusters and patriotic propaganda. And that crude oil pipeline that's slated to cut through Iowa, headquartered in Texas. Secession, anyone?
Well, thank you, Fern. As you say, that covers a lot of issues, and it is kind of complicated.
It's hard to understand, and it's not only about that particular part of the land. It is about a long-term vision for Ames, having more kids in our school system so we don't just fill up Gilbert schools and Ankeny schools, but having schools that are people who live here can go to. And it's very discouraging.
And you have, or you had a vision of kids being able to walk to school in a town the size of Ames. It's not a very big town, really.
No, I'm not sure that there's a need for school buses at all. If people had some vision about where schools should be. There are no schools now in the central part of Ames, Iowa. There are no elementary schools in Campus Town, which is now building more and more with young families. There are no elementary schools in downtown Roosevelt. There are no elementary schools. I mean, in the old days, Beardshire, all those schools would be in the central part of the town. There are no elementary schools now really in the central part of the town. They're all on the outskirts. And that's a shame because in a town that's only about 6x5, kids should be able to walk to school.
Well, thank you very much, Fern. You've got a long history of these issues, neighborhood issues, going back quite a long way.
You know, I want to say something else about neighborhood issues. I worked very hard when I was president of SCAN because I really did believe in it and in trying to save that neighborhood and trying to bring some of those issues to the fore. And neighborhood activists are often tarred with a brush that is unfairly sticky. You know, they're seen as NIMBYs, not in my backyard. We don't want this. You know, no, no, no. And all development isn't bad. Breckenridge Development, this student housing project, is bad. But there are wonderful neighborhood activists such as Sharon Guber, who've worked so hard, Mike Peterson, and if I can dedicate this reading of this column, it is to Duffy Lohr, who recently passed away, who was a wonderful neighborhood activist.
Yes, I'll second that. Duffy certainly was in her own neighborhood and elsewhere. Thanks so much. That was Fern Kupfer discussing neighborhood schools and neighborhood issues and reading an editorial published in the Ames Tribune a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, I just love her wit. I mentioned that I spoke with Luke Deardorff. I actually reached him on the phone last night. He's the president of Ames Community School District. He was also a member of the Real Estate Liquidation Committee when they were making this sale. And he really was the principal school board member pushing for sales of the unused properties.
So he's got a different view from Fern. Had he read her editorial?
Well, he did not recall reading it, but he did push back on her interpretation significantly, as you can imagine. Unfortunately, he's busy today and could not join us. But his main concern and the school board's concern was the liability that the empty schoolhouse represented. The old middle school was built when asbestos was still being used. Right. So the removal of the school together with the asbestos remediation was going to cost the school district $1 million. And so they had land that was valuable. At the same time, they had this liability. Neighbors were concerned as well. With an empty building, you have more chances of vandalism and so forth. So that was his main concern. They did reach out to local developers, Hunziker, Fredrickson, Jensen Group, before the auction. And the best offer they got from any of those was simply, oh, we'll take it off your hands for you. We'll pay you no money. We'll take care of the old middle school, and we'll take this off your hands. That was not satisfactory for them. And so they went to auction. At auction, Hunziker did show up. So it was Hunziker versus Breckinridge. And during the bidding, Breckinridge won out. Luke Dierdorf also pointed out that they had pushed back on Breckinridge. Breckinridge was delaying taking down the old middle school. Breckinridge asked for a waiver after a year. I think the contract gave them 1 year to take down the old middle school, and they hadn't yet. Breckinridge wanted to back out of that agreement because they were having difficulties, of course, with the zoning. And the school district board stood up to them and said, no, you must take down the school. So those are some of the things that Luke Dierdorf was talking about. Of course, another issue that comes up is the division of the property. They could have divided the property into three because there's the north section, which has the old, which is faces on Lincoln Way, and it had the old track there. And then the middle part is where the middle school stood, and the south part is ecologically sensitive with a creek running through it and now a bike path running through it. The compromise that the city council and Breckinridge lawyers came up with, to reiterate what Fern was talking about, was to make the north and south properties high density. So the property on facing Lincoln Way and the property Creekside, to make those high density for student housing, and to take that middle property where the middle school used to be and make that into single family homes. Now, there are a lot of things to talk about yet that we haven't, things that need to be folded into the equation, and that would be the lack of apartment housing in Ames. Severe lack over the last few years as the Iowa State University student body has grown, and no student housing really has kept up with that pace. This has displaced a lot of people from Ames as rent gets too high. So the assertion that Fern made that single family homes would have been the ideal use of that land is certainly debatable, as high density housing for students is needed somewhere.
Yes.
Is needed somewhere. And that would be the 600-pound gorilla in the room is the university. If you're talking about the town having vision, there's always the need for coordination with the university and their plans for housing or student body growth. And for that matter, the way they educate their students about proper behavior. And you know, that is one of the big issues that we're talking about, students being drunk, loud, obnoxious on the streets. So
what's the status of the old middle school property now?
Well, as I said, Mayor Ann Campbell broke the tie, but then that was nullified because the petition of residents within 1,000 feet of the property requiring a supermajority. So the application has, according to Luke Dierdorf, has moved forward, whatever that means, but it is still pending. So I guess it's never mind, or eventually we'll figure this out.
And did you ask about the Edwards School property?
Yes, we have been joined by a young man who's going to tell us about what the new Edwards School looks like. Presumably the old Edwards School is a property that the school board must get rid of. And I spoke with Luke Dierdorf about that. Old Edwards, they are planning to hold on to for at least a year. And this is because the Sawyer School, is going to be renovated next year. And they're finding out from the Mitchell renovation that it's very difficult to renovate a school while there are students in it. So the school board is thinking of using the old Edwards School to house Sawyer students next year while they renovate that property. They might distribute the Sawyer students between the old Edwards and the new Edwards while they're doing that. And all of this is tentative. The board is advocating this. They're going to reach out to Sawyer parents and talk to them in late September. And Deerdorf has spoken with the neighbors in the area of Edwards, and he thinks single-family homes is what that should be. The neighbors, of course, are concerned about high density. They don't want high density.
Well, you know, that's understandable. Yeah, that's right, and it's not that far from campus.
Yes, that could be student housing there if we're not careful. So that's all a ways in the future. So let's bring in our young guest, Wyatt Merciel McBroom. Wyatt, remind me what grade you're going into.
Fifth.
You're going into fifth. Okay. So you attended the old Edwards School.
Yes.
And a couple of weeks ago, when the new Edwards School had an open house, you and your mom went to that as well?
Yes.
To check it out? And will you be then attending the new Edwards School?
Yes, for 1 year.
Cool. Okay, so what were your impressions?
Well, it's definitely bigger than the older school. And the older school, we had two bubble classes last year.
What does that mean, bubble classes?
Bubble class means, like, it's a class, like, an extra one. So instead of having, like, the regular classes, they have so many fourth graders or whatever graders that they have to make another class.
I see. Okay.
So there was two of those. So now the art and music teachers used to have to share a room. And the old art room was turned into a classroom. But now I don't think we're going to run into that problem anymore.
Is there any part of the old school that you will miss?
I'll probably miss a lot of the memories, like all of the funny stuff that happens in the big boys' bathroom. My favorite funniest thing that happened in there was when there was this old fire alarm in there that didn't work anymore, and someone, like, threw their jacket up, and it landed, like, right on it. So, like, they couldn't reach it. So they were, like, just jumping around trying to get it. And, like, he was trying to run up the wall and stuff. Mm-hmm. It was really funny.
First of all, Wyatt, going into fifth grade?
Yeah.
Let me say something. You are a very well-spoken young man, first of all, for fifth grade. Because in fifth grade, I had an awful stutter. It was awful. But
This is Vivica Dillard, our sports correspondent. She's come in, too.
Oh, yeah. Sorry to just jump in. But let me ask you a question. How would you say, like, having to move to another school impacts... Would you say that impacts your learning environment?
No, I think that it would make it a little bit better because now we have more space to learn and we can go out into, like, bigger areas with softer furniture.
So, overall, you're happy with your new school, you'd say?
Yeah, and I think a lot of the other students will be, too.
Okay. Yeah, well,
where is the new Edwards located?
Miller Avenue.
Okay.
And how do the playgrounds compare? Playgrounds are always important, I suppose, to kids.
Yeah, everyone is really excited about this playground. And everyone was, like, was really excited about this playground, even when we weren't even there yet and they hadn't even seen it, they were excited about it.
Can you explain why?
Well, we got to pick out all of the stuff. Every class in the school got to pick out, like, their favorite five, I think, or something, playground things. And then whichever got the most votes, they would put on the playground. So I think that because most people would choose what, like, they were thinking that people would choose what they wanted them to choose, so they were like, oh, yeah, this is going to be an awesome playground.
Okay.
He is amazing. I love this guy.
Well, Wyatt, will you stick around in our studio and help us sign off at the end of the show?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. It's a time of new beginnings, and with school coming up, and also a time of endings, as we're talking about the end of Old Edwards. And our engineer in the studio, Rebecca Brown, she's approaching an ending as well. And so we thought we might commemorate that. Rebecca?
Yeah, so I am an AmeriCorps Vista here in Ames as one of the school garden coordinators. I worked with the school at Sawyer and Kate Mitchell Elementary. So this Friday, I'll be ending my term. And not only that, but the entire project is ending. So AmeriCorps Vista is really different than the rest of what people think AmeriCorps is. When people think of AmeriCorps, they're usually thinking of direct service. However, Vista is not direct service. Vista is capacity building. So teaching someone how to fish instead of fishing for them is what Vista is, volunteers in service to America. So
it's the Peace Corps of the United States.
Yeah, it was actually the first AmeriCorps. Kennedy started volunteers in service to America. So anyway, so the way Vista projects are set up is that they're 3 years long. You get a different Vista each year. And that's to build sustainability programming and just to help the community not just create a project that the community wants, but create a project that the community can actually do themselves. So with the gardens, we've created like a garden committee at each school so that these people can take care of the gardens themselves when we're gone. Because that's the point of it, right? Like, we can't just have people coming in all the time doing the work for them. They have to do it themselves eventually. So teachers, community members, and parents.
So do you feel confident that this garden will be taken care of in the future?
Yeah, I think by not having Vistas to fall back on, they'll kind of realize, oh, this really does take a team of people that want this to happen. So hopefully that sort of scary mentality, that sense of urgency will be put into everyone. And then
almost like a force of nature. You know, because
like, oh crap, we have to do this.
Right. Now. When you're a child and you're expecting your mom to get home from work at like 4 o'clock and it's like, all right, she's not home yet at 4:30. All right, I'm hungry. And you just like, okay, we gotta work together. We gotta put something in the oven. We gotta eat. You know what
it's
I mean?
So like it's sending like your kid off like, to college. Like
yeah, absolutely.
And then you're the kid, like I'm sending my Sawyer and Kate Mitchell people off to college now, and I'm like, all right, I trust you. You got this.
Yeah.
And they're the ones going,
that's
okay.
A perfect example for me, because it was just like, all right, I love you. Goodbye. It's like, no, I
if you
I
love something, set it free.
Yeah, pretty much. So anyway, the point of this is that we are having an event this Friday, a sort of potluck-styled lunch at Sawyer Garden. Sawyer is on Ontario Avenue in North Dakota and Ontario, and the lunch will start at 12:30, potluck style. Bring your favorite dish to share. There will be a special presentation at 12:45 where we will introduce some of the representatives of each garden committee. And then after that, it will just be eating food and mingling with people and other humans. So it's Friday, 12:30 at Sawyer Garden.
Okay, and what about your Vista career? Are you continuing on with Vista, or is this the end
No.
for you as well?
This is it for Vista for me. Some people take on another term, but I will actually be attending graduate school here at Iowa State. I will be in the Masters of Design in Sustainable Environments program, which is a brand new 3-semester, 36-credit program here at Iowa State.
Interesting.
And
Are you still going to be our engineer?
I will still be your engineer here in KHY.
Yay. Okay, well, thank you. That was Rebecca Brown talking about AmeriCorps Vista and the garden at Kate Mitchell. And now we have Vivica Dillard in the studio. We've had her for a few minutes here. And she does sports. So, Vivica, what's the word?
Hello, good morning, and hello, everyone, and this awesome little guy here, Wyatt. So, first off, I'm going to start off with some sports here. With just 29 days left until kickoff, Ravens running back Ray Rice is still under the microscope on top of facing a 2-game suspension from a domestic violence case. The biggest remaining question is whether he is still a legitimate running back anymore. Coming off a career worst season, averaging just 3.1 yards per carry, the office of the Ravens is wondering how he will return this season and if he is worth an extended contract. But on a lighter note, Michael Strahan and six others were inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame this past week. Strahan, who played his entire career with the New York Giants, was a 7-time Pro Bowl and 4-time first team All-Pro. And if any of you in the studio are not familiar with sports, Strahan now is the co-host of Live with Kelly and Michael. Right, so you might get up a little early. You might recognize that one. But on to the NBA. The Spurs have hired WNBA All-Star Becky Hammon, making her the first full-time female assistant on an NBA coaching staff. And here's what she had to say about that.
I'm here to be a part of the team. I'm here to help these guys in any way possible, help the coaching staff in any way possible, and really just serve these guys and try to get the best out of them, motivate them, and I'm here to help them. I mean, it's really, when it gets down to it, it's about those guys out there. And, you know, kind of the mini team that you have as a coaching staff. You know, it's kind of a team within a team, the coaching staff. And so just whatever I can add to the group. I'm sure Pop will be yelling at me soon enough with the rest of them. It's a high-pressure situation for everybody. I mean, we're talking about winning games and winning games at a high level. So I'm ready to be treated just as any other assistant coach. The best way I know how is just to be myself. I don't think there's any magic formula. You know, this is a tremendous opportunity, and I take it with great responsibility. But there is also, as like I said, as cool as it is, there's just the fact that this is basketball, and there's women that have trailblazed much bigger paths, and really trailblazed a path for, you know, things like this to happen. And there's a lot more important things going on in the bigger things. CEOs of companies and women are really in every area. I mean, they're in the surgery rooms, they're doctors, they're lawyers, they're COOs. And so even me sitting here today to be able to have the playing experience that I had as a professional basketball player, women went before me to pave that trail. And so I'm really just reaping benefits of all their hard work and labor.
Becky Hammon. Vivica, this woman we just heard from, she is going to be a coach in the NBA?
That is correct. She is going to be actually the first female coach, full-time female coach on an NBA roster, on an NBA coaching staff, I should say.
A men's team.
Mm-hmm. Men's team. Wow. So, you know, the Spurs, they continue to break barriers, you know, every year. And Coach Greg Popovich, you know, I tip my hat to him because that team, he just continues to do great things with that team. But, yeah, Hammond, she was a great player with the Spurs. They have a WNBA affiliate team called the Silver Stars. And since 2007, she has been an all-star for them, coming in her first year with them, averaging 31 points a game, 8 steals, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists. So those, yeah.
Okay, Vivica's just reciting those statistics from memory. I just want you all to know. So,
not reading that from any paper, it's just as a fan, I'm just letting everybody know she is an amazing person for this job. So,
well, I want to ask you just about backing up to the NFL and mm-hmm. women. I keep on getting emails in my inbox saying the NFL hates women. What is that all about?
Here's the thing. The NFL does not hate women. The NFL, women hate the way that women, wait, women hate the way, hates the way that they are represented in the NFL because they are put on the back burner because of, for just, this is all just my opinion and what I have noticed. This is all because of how reality TV shows and all of that stuff has represented them. The same for Basketball Wives and all of that stuff. And the thing with this particular person, Ray Rice, he is under a lot of fire because of a domestic violence case. So it's just a matter of...
Which critics say the NFL did not treat as serious...
Absolutely not.
...as it could have.
Absolutely not. But because they assumed he would be this great player... They only gave him a 2-game suspension. So, September 12th.
So they let him off lightly, you're saying?
Extremely.
Yeah.
For domestic violence. So it's almost like saying, it's almost like a pat on the back or just slap on the wrist.
On
like,
the
don't
wrist.
Do that again. Right. Don't hit your wife anymore. All right? You got it? Cool. You know? So.
She's such a great player. Yeah.
And honestly, it's just the numbers don't support that anymore. So now people are really wondering, like, is that enough? Like, this league is now saying, like, is this enough? You know what I mean? Like, are you supporting this because you're not doing enough?
Okay.
But I'm glad I got, you know, I got a conversation going in the studio today. So, but I got one last point. But we're going to move on to Team USA. And they have cut their roster down to 16. I don't know if anyone here, Wyatt, are you an NBA fan? Come on, man. but they have cut their roster down to 16, and the Wizards' backcourt have been cut along the way. John Wall and Bradley Beal, and the Atlanta Hawks' Paul Millsap have also been cut.
Team USA, we're talking basketball?
Basketball. They're competing. They started competition for the FIBA, F-I-B-A, World Cup, beginning August 24th, I believe.
Okay. We'll look for that.
Yeah. So, Paul George, he was out. They had the Team USA, they had a scrimmage this past weekend on, it was either Friday or Saturday. He broke his leg terribly. It was a gruesome leg break that he suffered. So, you know, wishing the best for him. But the Team USA coaching staff, they still have some work to do in order to cut the roster down to just 12 players. So,
okay. That was Vivica Dillard on sports, and you've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. At the top of the hour, we heard from Emily Miller of the Main Street Culture District of Ames.
Then we heard from Fern Kupfer reading her editorial about the sale of the old middle school to the Texas developer Breckenridge. Greta then provided a paraphrase of Luke Deardorff's rebuttal.
And we heard from Wyatt Marcille McBroom of Ames about the new Edwards School.
Links to relevant information will be available on our website, khoifm.org, by the end of the day, along with the podcast of this broadcast. That's khoifm.org.
We've been your hosts, Greta Anderson and Kay Puddock. Our engineer is Becca Brown. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley.
Local Talk is a radio production workshop as well as a show. If you'd like to get involved, come down to the station at 410 Douglas Avenue or give us a call at 292-2878. Again, that's 292-2878.
As always, your participation as audience, as well as your generous contributions, are what makes KHOI possible. Thanks for listening, and
see you again on the radio.